Well, good morning. Quite a long time ago, I had in one of my homes I had on a corner, right near my bedroom, a lilac bush. I don't know about you, but I like lilac bushes. They smell great when they're blooming. It was nice and big. This thing was, at least this big around, at least about this tall. Every spring it bloomed, and it had hundreds of those nice blossoms that you could cut and bring them in the house and make the house just smell so wonderful. After a couple of years, though, I noticed that the blooms weren't coming quite as prolifically. And then I noticed that the leaves weren't growing out as much. It was getting thinner looking and a little more, a little more ragged. So I took a clipping off and I took it to the down to the plant center or the garden center, and they told me, you got something called a scale on there. I had no clue what it was. I just thought it looked like the bark. There was something wrong with it. It was just the bark, the way it looked. They said, oh, you've got to spray it with some certain solution, and that should take care of it. Well, I did. It didn't. It kept getting worse and worse, and now it wasn't blooming at all. And so they took it. I took it back, and they said, best thing you do is just cut it right down. And that hurt me, because that's the only lilac bush I had in my yard. They said, cut it down. It'll grow back. I didn't believe them at first, but I did. I cut it down right to the ground. But to my surprise, the next spring, it had already grown back this tall. In 2 years, it was back up there again, prolific as ever, smelling great again, so I could take those wonderful blossoms back into the house again. That was such a great, it was just a great, great gift, that knowing that even though you can get cut right down to the ground, you can still grow back. After being cut down to the ground where you can't have those fragrant flowers, they can still come back. Now, the problem with that bush, that lilac bush, is really the same problem that all humanity has. Because we were once beautifully created. We were once created to have this beautiful, fragrant aroma that would show love and concern and care for one another. That's what the creation of Adam and Eve was really all about, to love one another, to care for it, to have this fragrance about each other so that we could care for one another. It was also a fragrance of worship and praise to the Creator that we offered up just by our life. We weren't self-conscious in those days. We were unashamed of our own nakedness because we didn't look at ourselves. We were looking outward at the other person. We have this care and concern for one another and a love for God. But instead, a disease, not the scale that happened on my lilac plant, but a disease of mistrust and unbelief and even hatred to the Lord God who gave humanity its life and goodness, and the ability to walk and talk with God himself. We lost it all. Because sadly, our first parents were tempted to believe the words of that liar, Satan. The lie that told them that God didn't really mean what he said. And that you can become a God on your own. That you can become wise and knowledgeable just by figuring things out on your own instead of listening to the Lord himself. That we would become by this infected with a sickness that was destroying us from the inside out, a sickness of mistrust and hatred of God. Our fragrance of love was lost, the scent of great and wonderful worship was dried up. We became lovers of ourselves, seeking only our own desires rather than the will of God. And that left us like that lilac bush, worthless, useless. And the only thing worth doing was cutting it right off at the root. The love of self has shown itself to all of us and shown all of us inside of ourselves in various ways. For example, rather than holding marriage as a sacred and a binding union between a man and a woman, even to death, now what is it? We twist marriage, demeaning it, corrupting it, and turning it into a joke. Divorce is the answer to just losing the feeling of love. We take friendships that we have, and we twist them around, and we betray one another with slander and gossip. Or again, we break relationships just because it doesn't feel right anymore. We bow down to feelings as if they are our own new idol that we have to worship. Even in church and the worship of God become vulnerable to our human nature because we cut off what is pure in focusing on God himself and what Christ calls for us, and instead we start encouraging what pleases us. We don't delight in the fear of God. We enjoy celebrating, say like at Christmas and Easter, but we have trouble with the proper fear and respect of God the rest of the year. Instead of seeking wisdom, instead of seeking understanding in God's word, hearing that word, reading that word, studying it, our natural sinful inclination is to think we already know enough about wisdom. We already understand all that we need. And then we're also quick to judge. Quick to judge things by what we see, by appearances. We pass judgment on those who appear guilty, or we approve the good works that others do because they're big, they're wonderful, and the good works that are small, well, they don't really mean that much. That's what mankind has done. It's taken a glorious heritage, a glorious life that God has given to us, and we've cut it right down to the ground. But why do we do this? Why do we have such a problem with the good things of God? It's because what sin has done to us, it's turned us inside out. Now, instead of looking outward, we look inward. What we see is what we want. We love ourselves more than anything else. We focus on ourselves. We focus on our feelings. And we focus on our own opinions as if that's the truth. But there's only one truth, and it's not us. We have corrupted ourselves. Humanity has been corrupted by sin. But out of the stump of that plant of humanity that was cut down, the root was still alive. And the family of man, through Judah, through the root of Jesse, the father of David, came a new king, a new branch. It's the Messiah. It's a savior from our sin and our uncaring attitude. The Lord has sent up a righteous branch that grows out of the human race. Jesus comes into this world as a human being. He's born of a human mother. He is real flesh and blood and bone just like us. But there's one great big difference, and a very important difference. He doesn't carry the disease of sin in him because his Father is the Heavenly Father. Jesus is fully God, totally, completely God, but he's also fully man. And unlike us, Jesus delights in his Father. Throughout his life, he treasures and he adores the relationship that he has with his Father. There's no rebellious attitude. There's no rebellious words or thoughts. Instead, Jesus, he's filled with the spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and knowledge and fear, as we read in Isaiah. His whole mind, heart, body, and soul are oriented to doing just what his Father says to do. And what is it that his Father calls on him to do? His Father sends him to be to free us from our enslavement. He sends us to be the one who's going to call us out of our dying, our death, and our enslavement to sin. Jesus is the one who's going to come and preserve life and reclaim it for us. Jesus is going to call on all his people to believe, to repent, and come to him. Jesus goes and seeks the hurting. He goes out and seeks the lost and all the sinners. He forgives those who deny him, as he forgave Peter. He forgives those who even are crucifying him as he hangs on the cross. And Jesus isn't worried about his feelings. He's concerned with you, with your pain, your losses, your fears, your own loneliness. And Jesus also judges rightly. He doesn't look at a person's clothing or their job or their position and decide if that's a good person or not. Jesus doesn't look at the outward works of people either. He doesn't praise or criticize based on those alone. Rather, he judges according to the heart of the person. What's in here? Do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit or not? Because that's the only judgment that really matters, is faith. If you have it or don't. He's not turned in on himself. In fact, his whole life is an outward expression of God's love for you and for me. Jesus, as it says in the scriptures, even though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. He works outward. He looks outward. He cares outwardly. Being born in the likeness of man, yet he is, even though he's superior to us, because he is the Lord, he still humbles himself and shows us how real, healthy, faithful humanity lives, looking out for one another, caring for one another, forgiving one another, giving up ourselves for each other, and then most importantly, trusting and believing the words of God completely. That's how he lived. That's how he died. And that's how he rose again, believing and trusting in his heavenly Father totally. Like that lilac bush that I told you about in my yard, Jesus was cut down to the ground. He did that because his Father asked him to. He was cut down to the ground to take our sin onto himself. He became sin for you and for me. He became sick humanity for you and for me. And he died, taking our place. But he didn't remain dead and buried. Instead, he was raised like a new fresh branch from that root. Jesus was raised to glory, showing all the beauty and the fragrance of God's love in him. And we can see and we can hear and we can taste the forgiveness that he offers when we repent and when we look to him for our salvation. Sin and death have not had the last word. Jesus was raised from the dead, and by the grace through faith in Jesus, so have we. Because by the grace and mercy of the Father, we have been given the Holy Spirit. You've been given the Holy Spirit in your baptism. You receive the Holy Spirit in the words. You receive in the sacrament the Holy Spirit who comes to you and reminds you of God's love and forgiveness for you. And we too are cut down to the ground by the law, when the law tells us that we're sinners. But when we repent, the Lord raises you up again to a new life in Christ. And in this new life, you can again offer the fragrant scent of true worship and thanks to the Savior. And in this new life, you too can also stand up and point to the Savior so that others will see Jesus, so that they too can become a part of his kingdom. And as this new life, we also can stand and be a fragrant offering to one another of sharing love, caring for one another, and being as Christ was to us, loving, obedient, and helpful, not only to ourselves, but to one another, which is what our Lord calls us to be. So we have been called to repent, to believe and trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for your salvation, so that you can do what our Lord has called us to be, a fragrant flower of his love and care. In the name of our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.